just got back from the autumn party at my daughter's school.
Okay.
And we rode our bikes and realized at the school, no bike racks.
Okay.
Well, I said to my daughter, no bike racks, where do you go to fight? Hello and welcome to episode 355 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam.
Were you drinking coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was a long delay otherwise.
No, it's probably still a long delay, but it was delicious coffee.
Good. First episode, evidently. What is
going on, Backpackers Blend. Backpackers Blend. That's what's going on.
That's a thing?
That's the
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I guess apparently people backpacking enjoy this blend of coffee.
When you're backpacking, you normally just have the lousy stuff.
Yeah. These backpackers go premium.
Now, which brand makes this? Is this Starbucks?
No, this is like a person we know that does private roasting. So this is premium stuff.
You know a private roaster?
We do. Yeah,
How have you not taken any photo challenges there?
Well, she lives in Duncan, so we get it brought in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, Duncan. I see.
This is not close to us, but this is someone we know. But anyway, she gets beans from all over the world, and the different varieties are constantly changing. There's just so many to choose from. But yeah, we get it brought down by the in-laws whenever they come down.
I see. Cause what else do you do in Duncan?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Never been to Duncan.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Good coffee.
All right.
There you go. Yeah.
I bet you can't buy that on Amazon.
No, you can't.
But I'm sure you can buy coffee. And if you do, go ahead and click through our site. Help us out.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam, besides the coffee bit? Was that it? Are you done out of your...
Yeah, it's just...
What's going on?
Does nothing but rain here lately, so I got nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We've gone the other way. Like, unbelievably the other way.
Okay.
I had to go into the attic and get my shorts out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 24 degrees in the afternoon.
Wow.
And then supposed to be a high of 4 tomorrow, though. So that's kind of weird. That's kind of a big jump. However, that's weather stuff for you.
Great.
Good times. Last week's show. I feel like that was a very distracted episode with Dawn.
On your part.
Oh, on my part. Yeah, no, I wasn't. No,
I was laser focused.
Which is highly unusual, as a matter of fact. Normally, you're mid-nap by the time Don is 2 minutes into his spiel.
Right.
However, I was glued. Like, there were circumstances beyond my control, like having two kids running around lighting fires in my house.
Right.
They were my kids, though, so I didn't feel as bad. But anyways, if the listeners, I mean, I appreciate, you know, you being on point, of course, and Dawn, as always, did a great job of contributing to the show and bringing some, dropping some knowledge on us.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. But to the listeners, I'll try to not be so distracted.
Okay.
Wait a second. There's something shiny in my office. Hang on. Hey. Just tinfoil. weather was so good we had a baseball game last week.
Just for fun.
Well, it's always for fun.
Okay, but this one was just
unless
not
the
a
Cubs,
game for
unless the Cubs, not as fun for them.
Not for the standings.
No, it was an alumni game, which means we played all the old guys. All the previous Hawks came in, the guys who have long since retired, and we played a game against the alumni team.
Okay, how many of those guys were younger than you?
75%.
Mm.
No joke. I'm not even joking. We had that discussion. I was like, hey, what are you doing? Why did you retire? You're 32. Yeah. So me and the other guy on our team, another guy who's a few months younger than me, and American guy. And so he's also he's a very good player. So he said the same thing. He's like, what are all these guys doing? But there was a few guys a couple years older than us, too.
Okay.
But had a good day. Point being is, you know, middle of October, we ended up having amazing weather. Best weather we've had the entire season. Best game weather, and that was in October.
Wow.
There's that.
Okay.
Also, in the what's going on, I don't have an answer for you, so I don't know if you will. What's going on with Lightroom?
I don't know. I've not noticed anything.
Oh, it's been announcements have been made.
Oh, I don't listen to announcements.
They are, well, you might have to because you're one of the CC guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've changed it.
To?
It's a good question, man. I don't really have the answer. Okay. It's a lot of options. A lot of options involved. There is Lightroom Classic and Lightroom Unclassic, I think, which is kind of a weird name. The marketing department really has trouble selling that. But no, there's a lot of, I had a quick kind of scan on the internets, and I'm not sure exactly. There's going to be new options available. $10 a month, but includes Photoshop, but not something else. And then some features might be disabled. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Heard a lot of rumors going around. Point is, if you're looking to us for answers, you have miscalculated horribly.
I haven't even paid attention. Mine has never changed. I get Photoshop and Lightroom. Maybe it will. I get emails that I delete. But so far, everything that I use works just fine. So nothing's changed as far as I can tell yet.
I think it's like a day old, these announcements.
Okay.
I mean, when you hear this, it'll be, you know, a few days old. But as we are recording, it's like a day or two old. So I don't know if it's all implemented yet. See, for myself, I'm still just sitting on Lightroom 4, just the standalone program. Nothing to do with the cloud, and thus I just keep going as is. I mean, until I get a new camera, it's not really going to be an issue for me. Lightroom works; it does everything I need it to do. So my policy is I just delete all the emails like you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm all good. Now, there'll come a day when, you know, I get a new camera or something like that, and then the RAW isn't supported, and then I'll have to upgrade. That's sort of the way of the world. But until then, I'm going to sit tight and sit this one out. You might be different, but you'll let us know what happens.
Sure.
Okay.
So I feel like it's mostly just they have a whole zillion different products, and so that you can kind of get this and this and this. But as far as the actual programs of Lightroom and you kind of like TV cable schedules where you now can a la carte everything now, I feel like that's probably what's going on. And so I think it was a little bit more basic before. Now maybe it's gotten more complicated, but they're not basically reinventing the wheel here. What Lightroom is Lightroom and Photoshop is Photoshop. So I hope they're not doing anything too dramatic.
That is also my hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monthly photo challenge. Just a reminder, we'll deal with this in two shows from now. Is fall colors. That's the monthly photo challenge. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on Instagram, and we'll take a look.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Hmm.
Then no.
Well, I did. The spoiler alert is that we're recording two podcasts, right? Pretty close together.
Yes.
So correct. I'll talk about what I shot interesting, because it technically was in this last cycle, but we'll talk about the next episode. I did some family portraits for some friends of mine.
As did I, so I'll bring up mine now then. We'll stagger these so it's not to bore everybody all at once. I had a family hire me to do a color portrait session. But as I mentioned with the weather, like they wanted the nice fall colors. Did I just say color portrait session? I meant fall color portrait session.
Sure.
But they wanted the nice, you know, the wonderful fall, that kind of crisp air. And they were kind of hoping this. They said, like, actually they would use one of these photos for their Christmas card.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
So, yeah, that was exactly what I was told too.
They had to wear shorts. It was that hot.
Okay.
And even in the evening, we shot. These are people who I've shot before, and they are rare in that they listen to me. And so when I tell them, "Hey, let's shoot at magic hour," they did. They appreciate the difference. Like they want magic hour shots. And so we sort of scheduled it for later in the afternoon, evening, and even then, still had to wear shorts. It was that smoking hot. So Christmas cards weren't going to happen, but we did find a few examples of the nice fall colors. Although, okay. Like yourself, you said that you're worried that in Vancouver it's going to go from summer, summer, summer to winter.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what's going on here, too. Photo challenge this week was fall portrait, which I actually hadn't. It sounds like I dovetailed it in with my shot, with my the session that I'd booked. I did not. It was a complete fluke.
Okay.
Works out for me, though.
Okay.
All right. So I will go first. With that, I'll go first. This one is from the portrait session, and we shot a bunch of different locations, but I chose this one because I actually lit it.
Yeah, I was going to say this is definitely a gelled flash.
Definitely. You're going to go out on a limb and say gelled flash.
Yes. Okay. Unless you, yeah, well, just based on the light on the kid's face is definitely yellowy orange. So I'm feeling mm-hmm. like you pushed a gel to get the color.
I didn't.
So do you just white balance something funny here?
No, this is balanced light.
Bounced light.
Mm-hmm.
So what gave you the yellow?
I used the gold bounce.
Oh, okay. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which we'll actually talk about a little bit more about in the topic, but let's bring it up now. A rare instance of me using the gold bounce.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't get, enough stick time, but today or that day it came out. But like I said, we shot a bunch of different locations and just trying to really hunt for the fall, like the foliage that you want. And it was actually very hard to find like large stretches of open, because that's the kind of thing I want to do. I want to include that, you know, all the area, all the surroundings and everything that adds to the photo. Hard to find. But this was one great spot. And I end up shooting it on the 70 to 200 at 200. And you can see I purposely went with just completely blown out background.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. Yeah, it looks good.
I do like it, but it's kind of counterintuitive to what we normally would shoot in this situation.
Yeah, agreed. And also, it's kind of, because it's so blown out, and we've talked about this in the past, that could just as easily just be a studio backdrop.
It could. It could, not only that, yeah, it could be something that you've built with crinkled tinfoil on your wall, and yeah. then just threw a flash on it. No, you really can't, yeah. you really can't do it. I'm wondering if there's no way I'm doing that before Christmas. Schedule is jammed, but I'm wondering if we could recreate this in the studio.
You probably could. It would be, but would it be worth it, right? Like the amount of work that would go into just doing that?
Interesting. Yeah, probably, no.
Probably wouldn't bother.
Good point. I shan't do that then.
Yeah. It does look cool though. If you can find this kind of light in real life, then absolutely it's a cool looking shot. So is that just light coming through on a tree? Like, is that what that is?
Yep, that's a tree in behind, just an open field. It's pretty cool because there was like different slashes of light coming through, like just so like, as you got in the background. So I shot a couple wider shots, but the grass wasn't as nice as I would have liked, and so that's why I went in tight and just kind of blew it all out. Made sure to position the kid with his back pretty much 3/4 to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives him that nice little halo. And even blows out his hair a little bit, but I didn't really care. Yeah. I brought it back a little bit with the highlight slider, but I didn't go all the way because that just kind of crushes everything. And then had someone hold the bounce just off to camera right and fill in his face.
So did you actually shoot flash into the bounce, or is that just pure natural bounce?
All sunlight.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no flash whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go, and that's it. So I do like it because of the depth of field, but it's very unconventional for what we consider fall colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
He's got a nice smile. I like his he's got a perfect smile for that kind of photo. Not too big, not mm-hmm. awkward looking like Jack's most of the time. that looks like, hey, I've done this before. I'm the real deal when it comes to taking a kid photo.
It took some tries, I'll be honest, though. And okay. So the good news is what I really like about shooting with the bounce is that you can just rapid fire.
Yeah.
Whereas with the flash, you're waiting for recycles, and you can't really do that and expect a good result. This way you can fire off 10 real quick and hopefully catch them with that professional smile.
Right. Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at yours. And I was going to ask you, are you going to the pumpkin patch?
Yeah, we went to the pumpkin patch.
No, I see that now. Yeah.
My portrait, I didn't know what exactly the rules are. Like, I want to use the one of the three, my wife, my mother-in-law, and my daughter at the pumpkin patch because I like that photo a lot better. Mm-hmm. But is three people still considered a portrait? What are the portrait rules? Like,
I guess so.
I don't know. Is there a defined, like, does a portrait have to be one person?
No.
Okay, then I'm going with the three people. I put the other one in there as a backup in case that was a technicality. I mean, we just said portrait, and I thought, okay, well, I think I can do a couple people together. But I did snap a safety there mm-hmm. just in case.
No, so let's go. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if there are rules. I would assume multiple people could just be a portrait.
Okay, then let's go with that.
Okay.
So, pumpkin patch, we went. They gathered behind a group of pumpkins, which I kind of put in place just to add a little bit more pumpkin ambiance. Uh-huh. And as you can see, it was a bit of an overcast day. It's rained here pretty much all the time, so we were fortunate that it wasn't raining. And got them gathered up. My daughter had just had dental surgery, so she has had a whole bunch of teeth pulled the day before, so hence the puffy cheeks and the little bit of I'm not gonna open my mouth to show all the gaps, so that's why you kind of get her kind of a little bit of a subdued smile from her, and otherwise that's all it is. Gather the pumpkins, pose them, because the sky was completely uninteresting, tried to get them in a spot where I could get the pumpkins with as little sky as possible. So, and then try to include that area where there was at least some reds to kind of make it look like fall. Again, of course, pumpkins make it look like fall, but I wanted some other colors in there. And everything is just kind of blah. There's no yellows. There's no bright changing colors right now. So,
right.
Not the pumpkin patch anyway. So, you basically have to do with the greens and the oranges. And so there you go.
But your wife wore the toque for you.
I tried to get her to wear more of a fall hat, but she refused.
No, that's fine. Isn't that a toque?
It's a toque, but to me, that's more wintery than it is fall.
Oh, come on. That's fine.
Okay. But my daughter has kind of the fall jacket, and my mother-in-law is definitely
robbing a house.
Wearing more fall attire.
Probably doing a couple home invasions on the way out of here.
So there you go.
I meant because she's dressed in black, not because she's...
I know.
...propensity for violence.
Right.
No, yeah. It's nice. It's nice to have... Like, I like these photos, too, where it's three generations.
Yeah.
You know, I like getting those kinds of photos. That's really nice. It's glad, you know, good that they could be down there for, you know, to go for that event. Is this at the big Rock'em Sock'em?
Yeah, which is why... The other reason I chose this angle, because there's people everywhere, right? So
right.
I was like, all right, quick, there's no people in behind you there. Let's take the shot right there, put a few pumpkins, and this was all done in all of 38 seconds. And then I did take a group one with all of them, with my father-in-law and my son also included, except for, as previously mentioned, my son's like weird smile face was brutal, so I'm like, all right, I'm not using that as the photo challenge.
Yeah.
Plus I thought 3 to 5, now we're definitely talking family portrait when I put 5 people in there, so
oh yeah,
I went with a smaller group.
So which camera is this?
This is, I think it's the 5D Classic and a 85 millimeter, I'm gonna guess. I kind of went with a with a small setup. So actually, I'm sure it's the 5D Classic, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure about the lens, but I'm guessing the 85 because I wouldn't have wanted to carry around the 70-200.
Which I've been taking mine out a lot lately.
I have too, but not to the pumpkin patch. I didn't really feel like it was necessary.
Right. Yeah. No. I've been bringing mine a lot more than normal. Actually, there's a couple of photos I want to throw in. I was meant to mention earlier of I think both of these are of my kids. One each of my kids. Just with this amazing fall light that we get. We've talked a lot about why you should shoot pictures at this time of year. This is why, and this is the 5D Classic with the 70-200 on it.
Okay.
Which maybe I've just fallen in love with that lens again. I don't like carrying it, you're right. And you attract a lot of attention at the playground. But you get shots like this. And so nothing's done here. There's no bounce, no... It's just look for nice light, have your kids be in it, snap the photo. It's really that simple. So I want, you know, everybody get out and take pictures this time of year.
And, you know, for those that are looking for a new lens, that 70-200, I mean, on the next episode, I'll talk about a little bit about the family shoot that I did, but the entire photo shoot was done with the 70-200.
As was mine.
And that lens, like if you have any sort of aspirations of doing photography for money, I can't think of a better bang for your buck. Like the 85 1.8, which I don't know what the retail is now, but let's say it's under $500, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that lens, again, you could do an entire photo shoot, you know, with that lens, or the 70-200. I think 650, something like that, that it retails for now. Like either one of those lenses can do an entire family portrait set, and incredible results for the price tag. So you don't need to spend $1,200. That is such a good lens, that 70-200, and so sharp. And I mean, I'm always amazed, like you just said, at how good the photos are. So buy it on Amazon and then click through our site. I think that's what we're saying.
I highly recommend doing that. Now, just a quick note about my son's photo and his big smile there. We have since taken him and gotten his hair cut.
Okay.
He no longer has the Al Iafredi or the Kim Mitchell or the, I'm not sure what he had, the Leif Garrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I like the photo of your daughter. Even though your son's smile is way better, I like the photo of your daughter so much more than the photo of your son.
Because you're sexist?
Partly. No, it's just the fact that it's his eyes and the shadows are too sharp. And
yes.
I don't like it. Like, it's fine. It's there's nothing wrong with it. But when you put those two side by side, it's to me, it's not even close.
Right. Shot two different days. I mean, I agree with you 100%. Okay. Shot two different days, two different locations. Just examples of different kinds of light that
right,
you can find.
Right.
So yes, the soft light on my daughter, much, much more pleasing coming through the leaves and whatnot. But yeah, now it got the haircut. It's his first ever haircut we had. So this was it. He'd never cut his hair ever in the picture you're seeing, but now he looks like $1 million. So
sweet.
Yeah. All right. Topic this week is fall portraits. Because normally we think about taking, you know, the fall colors. I don't know if we necessarily talk specifically about how to take portraits in this environment. So guess what? We're gonna.
Okay.
Where do we start? Where do you start with taking fall portraits?
Try to find some leaves.
Try to find some fall colors, of course. Leaves are great. Like, it's all these little you know, contributing factors, leaves, pumpkins. Pumpkin spice latte, I've heard, is sweeping the nation.
Sure.
I don't know. Never had one. But regardless, I hear they're in vogue. Look for fall colors. That's actually the big challenge. That's the background, that's your setting.
Yeah, I've done in the past where I've literally gone out in the car and just kind of driven around the neighborhood looking for the spot before I grab the kids and the wife and say, "Oh, let's do a fall photo." But you've scout location.
That's a great tip. Definitely scout locations. Have some stuff in mind. One of the issues becomes, as you mentioned earlier, though, that these nice locations tend to get a little crowded. At least here in Germany, they do.
Okay.
And so that's always kind of, you know, hey, can you go stand over there? out of the background, please. You want to get some good people free backgrounds, which can be tough, but you'll keep looking, you'll find something. But remember that these are the fall colors and all that. That's our background. The people are our subject.
Right.
That's what we got to focus on. Next step is time of day. That's just good advice in general, but guess what? Magic hour.
Yeah. Early or late?
Well, it's earlier than normal because of the time shift, but...
No, but I mean, what about doing them in the morning now? Because it's at least, like on a weekend, you might get really good light at... now, because it's staying dark later, like 9 o'clock might be doable.
That's a good point. I'm still not in the cards for me, but
okay.
Just for our schedule. No, I'm definitely up. I'm already up by for 4 hours at that point. But the either way, you can do morning, you can do evening. What I've noticed is that even though you're at magic hour and it's beautiful light, I find that it can still be a little bit harsh. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm not a scientist. I'm going to say, I'm guessing with the cooler air, I think we expect fewer particulates. Not even sure that's a word.
Don't know what it means.
Little bits, little things in the air. Particulate.
Okay.
Fog, smog, stuff like that. Smoke.
Yeah.
I think there's less of it hanging around. And thus, we get less diffused light at that time of day. Now, it's only a little bit, but I do find it can be a little bit harsh sometimes, even at magic hour.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I'm, again, not a scientist. This is just my take on it. Just be aware of it. Not much you can do, really. You still have to kind of shoot around it. But that's my takeaway. But now what do? We found the background. We're there at magic hour. We're ready to shoot. What's the first setting we're going to look for? Okay, it's ISO. That's the trick. We know that. But based next step, we want these nice fall colors. What do? White balance.
White balance.
Hey, white balance. That's the key. To me, white balance is the key here.
Okay, because you want those colors to pop.
I really like to ramp up the time of year.
Warm it up.
Warm it right up. And so I will go ahead and shoot, and even if we're shooting outside in daylight, I'm not going to shoot on the daylight setting. I'm going to use shade or cloudy setting as my starting point. Now, of course, I'm still shooting in RAW because I'm kind of a wuss, so I can fine-tune it later if I like, and I do. I do move the slider a little bit, but I find that I don't go too far. I kind of keep it at, so the cloudy setting is something like 6,000 or something like that.
Okay.
I think, and the shade is 5,500, or maybe they're flipped, I forget now. I find I don't stray too far from it when I get to post. Whereas if you shoot it in the daylight setting, I find everything to be a little crisp, a little bit, just a hint of blue in there, said the colorblind guy. But I find it just a little, the skin tones to be a little off. And so I prefer to start with a nice warmer one, which is what I shot the shot of my challenge photo. But again, I that's balanced with the yellow, the gold reflector so that it kind of matches the background a little bit. I didn't want him standing out.
Right.
And so that's why when you said, is it color temperature orange? No. But same effect, just kind of keeping things in the middle. So white balance. I recommend starting with the cloudy, even though it's not cloudy.
Gotcha.
Second thing to think about on my list is color contrast.
Okay.
Very simple mistake you can make this time of year is to have your subject really blend in the background. So you kind of want them to wear, I don't like when people necessarily wear like no colors, like your mother-in-law, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, mom. But I like something colorful, but that's, you don't want them camouflaged with the background.
Right.
So ideally, you'd find something like a nice dark green because everything's going to be yellow and orange now, but that doesn't seem to be the situation. Not in Vancouver, anyways.
No. Yeah.
Now three. This is the big one. What do we do for lighting?
A gold bounce board.
That's one option. Yeah, that's spoiler. Well, that's the thing is a lot of times, like, one of the good things about shooting at this time of year and in this, at this time of day specifically, is you get such nice light that if you play it correctly, you don't need to bring supplementary lighting.
Right.
You can shoot existing light. But it's nice to have a little extra. It's nice to bring a little light with you. So option A is what you thought I did, was bring the flash.
Right.
Hopefully off camera. I see this all the time. I saw somebody shooting the other day, and I judged because they were shooting on-camera flash in the sort of fall colors, but the guy was bouncing it off the blue sky.
Mm.
So no flash was actually coming forward. It was all just up into the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird.
Not much point. Yeah, not much point.
Yeah,
to that.
Pointed out to my wife. I'd rather you just leave the lens cap on at that point. So definitely you want to have it off the camera, which, you know, adds a few wrinkles, a few variables into the mix. But that's what you want to do. In this setting, I highly recommend picking up a color temperature orange gel.
Yeah.
If I were to shoot this, the one I shot, my challenge shot, if I were to actually have used a flash, which I might have, I would have probably used a half CTO.
Right.
If you can only get one gel, which I don't know why that's your situation, but if you find yourself in that situation, I would get a half CTO. And then if you could get two, then get a full one as well.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't get too fancy with the flash. I put the CTO on the half of the full. Don't get too fancy. Keep it sort of relatively close to the front on, just to fill your subject's face, because you just kind of want that. If you've chosen a good location and a good time of day to shoot, you're only going to need just a little hint of flash to fill in the face. You don't want to light the whole scene with your flash. That's going to look terrible. You just want a little bit of a flick in there just to kind of light up the eyes, get rid of the shadows. So don't go too crazy.
Gotcha.
Option B is the bounce board. And this is my preferred method, obviously, in this situation. The one real downside to this, and tell me if you've run into this, is not only do you need an assistant,
mm-hmm.
but you need a good assistant.
Yeah, my wife sometimes doesn't pass the bounce test.
Yeah, neither does my wife, and again, much like your wife, she's pretty good. But
yeah, she doesn't get it.
No. My wife is 0-300 against me at snooker. And this is why. And so it's one of those things where you get frustrated a little bit, and you kind of want to go over there and, you know, you end up grabbing the disc yourself and bouncing it and going, okay, there it is, don't move it. And by the time you get back in place, they've moved it and can't find it again.
Right.
So it's tough. It's a tough setup. But if you can find somebody, who's really good at bouncing, they're probably a good photographer and will just go take their own pictures.
Yeah.
That's kind of the rub. So anyways, if you get an assistant who can help you out, definitely shoot this method.
Yeah. And bounce is super awesome. And you said, because, you know, you can also rapid fire, you're not relying on recycle time. But I was looking the other day at photos I took for my cousin at his wedding, and I did a, like, this is now years ago, like three, four years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, and I did a lot of their portraits, like, out in a cool location, all with bounce. And I can't remember who was helping me, but the photos, I looked back on them and was saying, I was so amazed at how awesome they were. And I remember it was just all bounce. There was no flash. It was all bounce. And then I thought, that wasn't my wife helping me. It was, there's no way. I'm going to have to ask her if she actually did it because the bounce was just so good. I think I had another guy who was kind of a semi-photographer helping. And so when you said that, that's what came to my mind. I'm like, yeah, that was super terrific bouncing.
Yes.
It makes a difference if that person knows what they're doing.
Well, there's people on movie sets who that's their job is to come in and bounce. And they are good at it. You know, it's a very invaluable or valuable, I never know how to use that word properly, technique.
Well, and I think even just the little subtleties like, hey, in between shots or if there's a tiny little gap, just taking the light off of the people so it's not blinding them, because that light is so unbelievably bright and there's always one or two people in there that can't handle that light being on them for too long. Yes. So, yeah, it is definitely a technique to being good at.
That's the expert part, being able to take it off momentarily and then firing it back on. I also, what I generally do is I have the subject close their eyes until you're ready to shoot, and then give it a 1, 2, 3, they fire it open, they get them open, you fire off, you know, a quick burst of three, and you're going to use one of them. The last little tip with when it comes to bounce, if you have one of those 5-in-1 bounces,
mm-hmm. Which I do.
What are you doing? I mean, yeah, not you. This is you bought yours first, but if you bought yours recently, I told you specifically not to buy one. Because I have one too, and you're just out in the field stumbling around with a zipper trying to zip this stupid thing on. I can't stand it.
I just pretty much leave it on silver and white.
As do I, except for this one situation where it was time, and I was like, well, I don't have a choice. I just got to swear this thing right on. And then, you know, now it's sitting there. I didn't put it back. I said, I'm just going to throw it in the garbage and go buy individual bounce boards because I can't do this anymore. It's just frustrating. So in this situation, what you want to do is position your subject with their back or three-quarter to the sun. That gives you that nice rim light that we talked about, and then bounce the light into their face. Right. That kind of gives you the nice fall portrait. Other than that, I guess lens. I didn't write that down. What your lens selection will make a huge difference. Hard to go wrong with any lens here. If you want to like a long lens is going to make your subject look great, but a wide lens is going to include a lot more of the beautiful background. So it really depends on what it is that you want to see.
Right.
And that's it. That's how I would go and shoot fall portraits.
And in that situation, I think where you've got a really nice looking background, mm-hmm. I'd probably do both. I'd probably really make sure that I took a couple where you are a much sort of larger depth of field so you can, you know, really have some detail in the background. Mm-hmm. And then I'd for sure want to do some where, you know, you're at a f2.8 or an f4 at least and blow some of it out. And then you can kind of decide after the fact which ones you really like more or want to deliver to your client.
I like all of them. I'm keeping all of them.
Sure, or do that.
That's how it ends up going. All right, photo challenge for next week. I've got one, and it is simple.
Okay. No, the
challenge is simple.
Oh, okay.
Like simplicity. Simplicity, simple. Do something simple.
Okay. All right.
There's that.
That's wide open.
Yeah. That's the plan. Monthly challenge, just a reminder, is fall colors. It can be a fall portrait if you want, but make sure you include fall colors. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on Instagram, and we will check that out. Meanwhile, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.